cumbia de la
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
And here we are already at episode 3 of our reviews for, well, all 37 songs competing in Basel 2025. Unbelievably. We're already on the semifinal 2. And we've had the running order. I was wondering if that was going to happen before we got through this this series of reviews. So we might shake things up a little bit today. But, as per usual, we're not alone, because who cares about our opinions? We have a special guest with us, and, well, I'll just let him introduce himself, because he's about to jump into this with us and give us his opinions.
Well, g'day. Thank you, boys, for inviting me on your podcast. And Building Bridges is a very long bridge to Australia, but... I'm Kyriakos from Brisbane, and I'm a past contributor from Aussie Vision. I was part of Dale Mike's team with a bunch of dozen contributors, and I had an amazing 4 years with them. It was a fun ride. I got to interview dozens of artists, did press at Straight Asides, went to the 2023 contest. Also, like, wrote like 700 articles for them. And last year, I decided I needed a break. And this year, I'm slowly getting into things. I've been a guest contributor for Aussie Vision now, doing a few things for them behind the scenes until I figured out what I want to do in the Eurovision bubble. But yeah, it's been a fun ride. So, and I'm back on it.
Yeah, and I think it's very fitting to have you on in this episode because Australia is, of course, opening the semi-final, and I think this is the first time ever that Australia is opening a Eurovision contest, you know, in semi-final or final. So how do you feel about that news?
Yeah, I guess 10 years in the contest now, it's about time we opened a semi. It's our first time, and kind of nervous about that at the same time, but looking forward to it. And apparently our placing's not too bad. I think, I can't remember what the percentages were, but I think being first is... Well, especially voting during the show might be an okay thing for Australia with our entry. But yeah, looking forward to how that goes.
All right. So should we get right into the reviews? Australia is opening the second semifinal. Gojo is singing the Milkshake Man. And Kyriakos, usually we leave the first word to our guests. So how do you feel without, you know, trying to be, not to be biased? What do you think about Gojo and the Milkshake Man?
Well, finally, Australia's sending, well, I kind of like a risky entry for us. Like we're sending a novelty joke entry, you could say. Unfortunately, in a year with lots of those, so lots of competing for that televote, but Australia really needs to try and get that televote this time around. But I'm actually happy Australia's sending Gojo. It's someone I didn't know until, I didn't know who they were until SBS announced them. But he's got so much charm and charisma. Like even in your interview, like I could pick up the interview that you guys did with him. He's so charming and very infectious.
Very much.
And we got to meet, some of us got to meet him at the OJ preview parties in Brisbane, Sydney. I went to the Brisbane one, and though he didn't perform, he did like dance along during his music video when it played, and he was there with his like tight pants and like doing little dances and answered questions, and he really controlled the crowd. So if he brings that charisma to the stage, I think we're in for a bit of a treat in Basel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this song or this whole entry for me is very hard to predict where it's gonna go. I could see this like being a top 10 finish, but at the same time, as you kind of mentioned already, you know, Australia sometimes struggles with the televote, and I just have no idea what they are going to do on stage. I could see this being, you know, this has a lot of staging potential for sure, you know, with the kind of ice cream truck and the 80s, you know, vibes they had in the music video. But at the same time, I could also see them messing it up and, you know, this kind of, you know, being left behind in the semi-final. For me, it's very tough. This is, I think, of all the songs we've talked about so far, this is for me the hardest one to predict, like, where it's gonna go. Because I don't think Gojo has performed this song live yet either, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. So, yeah.
Not yet. No, no.
Yeah, it's very tricky, but I do like the song in the studio version. I think, obviously, it fits to the 69th Eurovision Song Contest with the Milkshake Man.
Yep.
And yeah, I also completely understand why they chose this song to open. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but also, as you said, guys, before, it is risky, but on the other hand, you know, it is also a time for Australia to try something new. Gojo was very secretive when it came about staging. Also, when we tried, you know, to, you know, get something from him, he was like, you'll see in Basel, you know. So it's all about probably some concept they have for the actual Eurovision stage. I wouldn't be surprised if there would be any kangaroo on the stage as well, since he was backing one in overhead cabin back on its way, yes, to Europe. So I mean, you know, everything can happen, and I'm here for it. I really am.
I mean, I think this might possibly be the most Eurovision-y song to ever Eurovision. I mean, this is fantastic. You mentioned it was a novelty entry, and I thought so too first when it came out, but it's really grown on me, and I think other Eurovision fans think the same. It's fun silliness, but there's a like, at least there's a theme, there's a point to it. You've even got the some French lyrics in there, like as a nod to his French father. It's I think it's brilliant. And yeah, after 10 years, I think Australia is finally kind of in their groove again, and I think and hope this will qualify. And If Sebi's on the fence about it, I think, like Kirako said, like, it's going to come down. He's such a natural entertainer. He's so fun to watch. He's so fun on stage. If the vocals are there, I think we're going to be in for a real treat.
I'm 100% sure about that. And can we maybe just talk about 10th anniversary of Australia participating in the Eurovision? Because, like, it feels like yesterday that Guy Sebastian performed in Vienna, and now it's like 10 years since that. So, I mean, this is great. So this is one amazing story, which is having already 10 years of tradition now. So I think, you know, Eurovision without Australia, it's not even Eurovision anymore.
Yeah.
I still have to say, like, even though it's been a very fast 10 years, I still feel so privileged that Australia's part of it. And every year we're always like, are we still going to be like competing? And there's always like that anxiety that, I don't know, we won't be back, but we 10 years and we haven't been kicked out. So that's kind of nice. But still feels like a big privilege to be part of it. And as a fan, like, yeah, so happy about that.
And absolutely. So are we.
All right. So let's go through. We start with our guest as usual. So how would you rank Milkshake Man out of 10?
I just want to say one thing, like with semifinals, Voyager actually like won their televote semifinal. So Australia seems to do well in semis, but then tanks in the televote in the grand final. But for me, yeah, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10. I was trying to take my bias out of it, but yeah, no, it's an 8 for me.
I will give it a 6, I think.
I'm saying a 7 for me.
7, and I'm going to go for an 8 on this one, because it's just too cool for words. So that's a 29 out of 40, if my math's so right, at this early hour of the morning. And having the privilege of following Australia is poor old Montenegro, Nina Žižić. Probably not the best news for her, eh, Kiriakos? So what do you think of Dobrodošli?
So I'm an absolute sucker for Balkan ballads, personally, at Eurovision. So for me, like, it's good to see Montenegro back in the contest. And Nina's been in my personal top 10 for a while. But at the moment, she's kind of dropped. She's sitting at 13th favorite for me. But I actually love her live performance. It's fantastic. But unfortunately, I find it forgettable. And I feel so bad saying that. Every time I watch it, I'm impressed. I am enthralled, but then, like, after I've watched it, it's gone out of my memory. I don't think she's qualifying, despite having this. Was it, I think Serbia's in the semi, so
yeah.
But she's been done dirty coming in second in the running order. She really has. And with so many attention-grabbing entries, I'm a bit worried for Nina.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a very good song, especially I love the intro. It feels very James Bond. And I think what could possibly save this is to go a bit away from the typical Balkan ballad and maybe have her go all out on the James Bond theme, you know. Maybe have her in a suit with a James Bond, you know, hat and everything, you know. Because I thought, when I listened to the Monte songs, I thought this had a lot of potential. And then I was a bit disappointed that she was just, you know, standing there in her white dress. And that was it. That was the whole performance. And if we're going to see this in Basel, then I think for sure she'll be out. I think it will have its fans. As you said, Serbia will vote for this. And she's not going to be, like, last in the semi. But I do think it will be tough to find, like, let's say it won't be tough to have 10 songs that will get more points than this in total. I see her like 12th or 13th in the semi-final with the Balkan support.
I would say that, oh my goodness, this year is definitely a no-no for the Balkan countries, like for all of them. And I have a feeling that even
not
though...
Not including Albania.
well, let's say... For all the ex-Yugoslavian countries, I will put it this way. Yeah. You know, I would say quality-wise, Montenegro song is not even that bad. It's like, it hasn't... I mean, Nina can deliver the vocals and also the song is, you know, nicely built. But I would say also she had the issues, you know, from the staging already from Montenegro. And I think they will be probably keeping the same... concept for Basel as well, since the official music video for it or the revamp for the song was shot in probably in a television, you know, in one of the studios and just like moving around. So this is definitely giving me idea that they're definitely not changing the concept for Basel, which I really feel sorry for Nina, because I have a feeling that I don't know. It's just like I never skip Dobrodošli on Spotify, but I have a feeling that the viewers will be left cold after her performance, and especially being, you know, second in the semifinals. And I have a feeling that this is not qualifying to the grand final. And also I think we are probably about to have another country dropping out from the contest, especially since, you know, it's Montenegro in Switzerland and probably dropping out for another few years now. So, yeah, I feel sorry for her. I think it's a nice little song. It's just about all about the staging, which will definitely define her qualification and obviously a lack of probably votes from Yugoslavian countries. I think only Serbia can vote for Montenegro, and I don't think this will really rely all on Serbian votes.
No, and it worries me when I hear someone like Kyriakos say, like, he likes the Balkan ballads. My God, I need more coffee. But then, because I was going to say, like, you to appreciate this song, you really need to be one of those people that like those, and to hear you say, you know, it becomes forgettable after you listen to it, and it really worries me. The saving grace here is Nina, because, I mean, she's such a good vocalist. She's got that nice, smoky, velvety voice. But I think she's really going to need to make some, like, get through the screen somehow, break through and make really good connections with the viewers if she's going to hope to pick up some votes from other countries than Serbia. Because if not, I mean, this is just, it's going to be forgotten, I think. So how do we rank it?
So despite I think she won't qualify, I'm still giving this a 7 out of 10 because I do like the performance when I watch it.
It's a solid song. Yeah, I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6 as well, because like I really enjoyed the song.
And it's a 5 for me for a 24 out of 40. So not bad. We've had much worse from the first semifinal, let me tell you.
We win it. Yeah.
We definitely did.
And maybe we can add this. I do think that she would have had a chance in the first semifinal, but like I think semifinal was just a bit too tough for her.
Yeah. So I would like to be wrong, so I hope that she qualifies, but I'm really afraid that she won't.
And you've got a banger going before her, which is going to steal attention. And then we move after, and right away, it's Ireland with another up-tempo, if you can call this a banger or not, maybe. That's debatable. Right? With Like a Party. So how is the Irish song doing down under?
Okay, so I'm afraid you guys, this is the point you're going to kick me off the podcast, I'm not sure, but I'm so conflicted with this one. Like, at Eurosong, I actually was a huge fan of Samantha Mumba's My Way, probably one of the only people that were, I'm not entirely sure, but I still have it on my playlist. But it was obvious to me that Emmy was going to head to Basel. And Like a Party, like, it's really energetic and fun. And unfortunately, I did dig a bit more deeper and read about the whole history behind Laika, the Soviet dog. And it's actually such a sad, tragic story, and her death in space. Like, it just, when I listen to this, I don't know whether to laugh, to cry, or dance, or do both at the same time. Like, I just feel so conflicted, and maybe I'm thinking about it too much, but I just find it slightly depressing. And yeah, and I also have this as a borderline qualifying at the moment as well, despite it being quite a catchy entry. And I'm sure they're going to do something very, like, visually like exciting on stage. But yeah, I'm a bit conflicted.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think this is a bit overhated, like, especially on TikTok. Everybody is so mean to Emmy. And I want to say, you know, we had Emmy on the podcast and she was such a sweetheart. And I don't think she had any bad intention writing the song. There are a lot of discussions right now if this is appropriate or not to have a fun party song about a dead dog or not. I do think her intentions were good, to, like, pay a tribute and attention to Laika. But at the same time, I do think that she will not qualify from the semifinal. I think it's just a bit too tough. I could make an argument for her going through as the 10th spot, maybe. But this semi is really the more competitive one. I just don't see it happening. And also, they had some publicity in the beginning, but now, like, this, the fandom seems to have forgotten about Ireland a little bit. I don't see a lot of talk about it anymore. So yeah, I do not think that Emmy will continue Bambi Thug's qualification streak, unfortunately.
I have to say that this song is, as you said before, Kyriakos, it can be so conflicted, because it can be like a very sad story on an up-tempo song. But I don't know, I know there's not the same audience when you have, like, Eurovision fans and actually people who watches the contest and votes for their entries. It's not exactly the same audience, but, like, I remember, and I'm probably repeating myself for seventh time now, but, like, when I was in Sweden for Melfest weekend, Emmy's song was the only one, her performance was the only one which was repeated, because the fans were, you know, calling her back on the stage once she finished performing. And it is enjoyable song, and people can dance and people can, you know, enjoy it. And I love how she wanted to make a different story about Laika, you know, who died because of the human stupidity in the sky. But I think that she is a borderline qualifier, because it all probably depends, because, like, all of these, you know, songs with this little Eurodance rhythm from the 90s, you know, they always happen to end up, if so, on the right side of the scoreboard, if she qualifies, of course. I would love to see her qualify. She seems like a very nice person. When we had her over on the podcast, she was super lovely, and I really want her to, especially because she's not Irish representing Ireland. It could be a huge media backlash just, you know, coming from this song, because it's a person from another country. I really want her to qualify. If that's a borderline qualifier, I'm fine by it. Just, like, it would be super nice to hear Like a Party on Saturday evening as well.
Yeah, I rewatched her late show performance again last night to try and think of what to say for this, because I'm so conflicted. Because I find the you know, the chorus, the core pattern, and it's so repetitive. And after you've heard that da 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 a few times, you're kind of done with it, but it just keeps going and going. And I noticed too, like, I don't know if she was nervous or focused on her vocals, but she didn't seem to have a whole lot of energy in the studio. And I know the studio, again, is not the best place. Like, probably if she was in a big arena, she'd have more energy anyway because you've got a bigger audience. But there's something just so goddamn infectious about that fucking song. And, like, I still don't know how she won Eurosong. But looking back at it, like, I remember watching the show that evening going, oh, yeah, she has to win out of the six, even though I had other favorites. And she won. So, like, something just happens when that song gets performed on stage. Like, it just got, even though it wasn't the best performance, it just elevated itself, and it was like, oh yeah, that's the winner. I would like a bit more, like, if she could, I don't know, like Jan, you said, like, there's no Irish link here. Like, maybe she could have did a little revamp, maybe with some, I don't know, like, even if it was an electric violin and put some, like, little Irish notes in it somewhere, somehow, just to kind of make it a bit more appropriate, but
maybe she's making Irish dance break with the, you know, you know, in a way.
Yes, invite down River Dance. That would be hilarious.
Oh my God, yes.
But between the whole backstory of the dead dog and the, like there's so much going on. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but we saw in Dublin what happened. It took off and did well, and maybe the same will happen in the semifinal. Who knows? The only thing that hurts that is it goes early, of course. And the Late Late Show, I think it closed, which kind of helped it a bit, maybe. But I don't know. Time will tell. We won't have to wait long. 6 more weeks.
You know what I think will hurt this? Because I heard a compilation of, you know, Ireland and Luxembourg right after each other. And right after each other, it sounds like it's the same performer. And I do think that Luxembourg has the better running order and also more friends in the semifinals. So I think this will be what hurts them. But we're not talking about Luxembourg in this episode.
No, just the thing is that, like, when it, like, the whole thing with Ireland, I think it is, I don't know, it's a funny, catchy song, and if there's something, you know, like, when, if you never listen to her performance live, you think, okay, because, like, her voice is very EDM banger song, you know, so it really fits this kind of music. And you think, oh, maybe she's not even good vocalist, you know, because, like, it seems like the voice is so well produced. But then you hear it live and you see, okay, well, she can sing and she can deliver live as well. So I think with the right performance and with some, I don't know, with great staging, I don't really see an issue for them to qualify. It's not like they're aiming for a top 5 result or top 10 result for this year, but, like, come on. I think we can definitely let this qualify to the final evening.
I do think Jan has a point there, actually, because, like, how many people are going to probably, like, Google about Laika the dog, unless the commentators mention something about the dog, which probably is possible. But if you don't get that backstory, it's pretty fun entry to watch.
Yeah.
No, and if you're not paying attention, like, I guess the whole point is Laika the dog sounds like a, which is the whole
point, like, right? A party, yeah. Like, so, a party in the sky. It's so funny because, like, imagine, like, a party in the sky.
Exactly. And it would be super clever if it wasn't about a dead dog. Yeah. But we can't harp on that anymore. So how are we going to rank this one out of 10?
I'm sorry. This makes me sad. This isn't revenge for Samantha Mumba, but I'm giving this a 4 out of 10.
Oh my God. I'll give it a 6 again. I feel like I'm only giving 6s so far.
Well, I give it an 8 because it's a guilty pleasure and it's a 8 points for party in the sky. Imagine having a party in the sky.
I really wouldn't. I'm afraid of heights. Hera didn't help last year. So I'm going to give this a 7 just for the benefit of the doubt, I think. And hope what happened in Dublin will happen in Basel and this will elevate somehow and she'll be okay. And we gave that a 25 out of 40. Latvia is going to follow Ireland, so we're really on a roller coaster with these ups and downs. So it'll definitely stand out, but will it stand out in a good way? What do you think, Kyriakos?
Look, I didn't really follow Supernova much this year, though I did check out Marcus Rivers' entry for certain reasons, but this is a very nice entry. I know he has some, like, love of the fandom. I feel bad saying this, though. It doesn't do anything for me. and I do feel bad saying that. And I don't have much to say about this either, because I don't want to say anything bad. But yeah, maybe one of you guys have something a bit more nicer to say about Latvia.
Yeah, I really like this song, actually. I think it's a very, like, you know, fairy tale, magical vibe. I think it will stand up because there's nothing like it in the semifinal. And I think it's probably, I think it's qualifying for sure, because they have Lithuania, the UK and Ireland to vote for it. So it will get like three top two scores at least. And yeah, I think it does stand out, and I quite like it. It's not that I have it on repeat like every day, but I do think that they will bring something very visually and sonically pleasing to the stage. So yeah, I don't worry about Latvia too much, actually.
I'm sure it's great, and I'm sure it was selected because it was you know, a collection of an opinion from Latvia. Just like as Kyriakos said, this song doesn't do much to me, like nothing. And while I'm trying to see it, you know, what I don't know, from the performances to music videos to, you know, seeing this in a different concept, it really does nothing to me. And it's not that I would skip it or anything. It's just like you don't get this feeling with some sort of additional value in it. It's nothing wrong with it, of course, just like it's not my cup of tea, and like it absolutely does nothing to me. That's my point.
Yeah, I think we're not maybe the best group of people overall to react to Latvia, because I feel the same as you, Jan. Like I just have no reaction, especially when you go back to Supernova and see the three-way tie, and you think that Ramtai, you know, was tied for the win as well, but it went to I'm going to butcher this, Tau Tumeitas instead. You know, they went from a banger to this. But again, there are people that like this, and I don't want to upset. I know we have a lot of listeners in Latvia, and we love them. And it's just not one for me this year. After some previous songs from Latvia that I really enjoyed, so I'll just say justice for Ramtai. And yeah, we can move on with our votes out of 10,
which was written by Emmy, by the way.
Of course, for the link to Ireland. Yes,
I agree with Jan and Dave there. But despite the way I feel about this as well, it's a nice performance. I'm giving it a 6.
I think it's my favorite out of the songs we've talked so far, so I'll give it an 8.
I'll give it a 5.
I'm giving this a 3. But I agree with Sebi. I really do think this will qualify handily, actually, because it will have its fans. It does stand out as something different. It's just, like I said, it's not for me, unfortunately. So this is if I've done my math right again, 22 out of 40 so far. Armenia is going to follow Latvia. So again, we're kind of going up in the roller coaster again. And it's Parg. I'm a survivor. I haven't heard a whole lot about this, not a whole lot of reaction. I don't know, again, down under, Kyriakos, if people are talking about Survivor.
There was one person from the Aussie Vision team that I saw at Brisbane Party that was obsessed with this, and probably the only person on the planet, I'm not sure. Okay, I take that back, but look, I don't know where to start. I don't have much positive things to say, like, he's a good-looking man. He's nice to stare at when you're watching the performance. He brings some nice energy to the performance. But rhyming Survivor with Staying Aliver, oh, that grinds my gears. I just can't.
Talked about this so many times on the podcast. Yeah, like, yeah. It's giving me the ick. It's so, yeah. I get chills, negative chills. Yeah. Just when I hear it.
That's a no from me. That's all I want to say.
I'm so disappointed in Armenia in general. The national final was so weak. And like, they had Lada Niva, they had Brunette, they had Snap, they were doing so well. I thought we were looking at an Armenian victory quite soon. And then, you know, they went to this, which is so, you know, it's not just bad and like poorly written. It's also like very old fashioned. It seems like, you know, what we would hear in 2010, 2011 in Eurovision, like a boom, boom, chaka, chaka. And then next year they would go for I'm a Survivor, Staying Alive, you know? Yeah, it's not qualifying. And I hope Armenia is going back to their usual strength next year.
Yes, and also, like, if you think about it, this song was written by 10 songwriters. How do you, you know, get, and including Thomas Geirson, like, and Peter Bostrom, like, how do you manage to get 10 people on the track, which is, you know, I can't even find a word in English, but, like, it's so, like, the whole De Pievra Te Sil national final was so useless because, like, they could literally make this on, I don't know, this morning show in Armenia. They could say, oh, this is, like, top five songs. Maybe you can vote for them. And this is pretty much it. And also, like, I agree totally here with Kyriakos. Like, Park is a very good-looking man. But this is also pretty much it when it comes to this song. And as you said, Sebi, before, Armenia has this huge, huge, I would say, rich Eurovision history, you know, especially with their big hit in 2022, which went viral and brought Armenia on the Billboard map, you know. And from this kind of experience, I would presume that the Armenian broadcaster would take things seriously and maybe say, okay, we make this open call, we choose this carefully, we select the song and so on, because a lot of times national final doesn't do it its justice to country aiming for a good result. And I think I'm really sorry, but I really think that this is not going to do well as they think it might go. So in Armenia, so this is my two cents.
No, it's funny. It's been echoed already. I also watched ESC Gabe's latest video. He ranked all of the selection shows this year in one of those tables from, like, you know, top to bottom. And the only one he had in the lowest tier was the Armenian national final. And I didn't pay attention to it this year. I didn't realize how bad it was until he got into it. And yeah, the whole Stay Aliver thing is just, I mean, that's got to win for worst lyrics.
Stay Aliver, my goodness.
I can't believe there are 10 people that wrote that, and especially Thomas Geirson, Let That Go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't have anything else really to say about this one because there's nothing to say. So we can just we can just give our marks out of 10.
So for me, 1 point for good looks, 1 point for energy, 2 out of 10.
Oh.
I think, yeah, that's... I'll just give it a 1. I don't have anything that speaks for it, you know?
Yeah, I'm also giving 2 for... But just like 2 for the good looks, which is... Yeah, I think this is the lowest that I gave to anyone.
I'll just give it a 4 for reasons. We'll leave it at that. And that is our lowest of any semifinals so far. That's a 9 out of 40. So we'll see if anybody else can reach those levels
and
of depravity.
And I just want to say, you know, if Jan said it was a disappointing year for the Balkans, talk about the Caucasus and the disappointment there. Azerbaijan is actually, you know, probably getting the highest points from us, which says a lot. So
it's so funny that if you look at the odds, I've seen some people, like, color in maps and post them on social media, and, like, all of Europe is colored in to qualify, except, like, the Balkans and the Caucasus and just, like, one or two other countries, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really odd regional breakdown this year. Yeah, and we leave Armenia and the roller coaster. This is really, like, people have complained about the running order, but, like, really, like, these songs are very different from one another. And we leave Armenia, we leave Park, and we go to what, at the time of recording, is almost the bookies' favorites. I think just 1% off in the odds. To Austria. And we've got Sebi here, of course, who's going to have lots to say about JJ, but we'll start with our guest. How is this one sounding in Australia? You were at the OGAE. Anyone talking about this one?
Yeah, people got really excited with this, and Austria are really sending gold here. I know a lot of the fandom got winner vibes straight away when this got released. I have to say, I was the exception. It took me a while, but I am on the winner vibe train at the moment. I just think JJ's vocals are really unique, and together with the operatic singing and that drop in the end, I think he'll actually stand out in this semi. And if Austria delivers some like great staging, and I want some drama on stage and just something that like complements the song, and if they can do that, I think it's a definite Eurovision winner for sure. And I think also maybe like fighting for that second place with Erika Wigman, maybe with a televote, I don't know, there's a possibility. Well, maybe that's more to do with my thoughts on Erika Wigman's entry, is similar to Dave's. But yeah, I think, potential jury win in the grand final, but yeah, lots of potential for this one.
I don't think it's going to win just because it's Austria, it's my country. So I'm always saying no, do not get any high hopes. I do have full confidence in this because JJ is singing at the state opera. So there's not going to be a single flaw vocal wise, you know. And, you know, the person who did Bambi Thug staging last year will do this year's staging for JJ. So I do not have any doubts about this being amazing live. I just, it's tough for me to see it winning because, you know, even though they're very different songs, you know, all the casual fans have compared this to Nemo already and say, you know, it's too similar to the previous winner, which I actually don't think, but like... I just don't see this doing all too well in the televote. I see this like at a sixth or fifth place with the televote. And I just think we might miss out on that victory. But I do think, you know, maybe a second or third place is definitely in the run.
Okay, I'll just put it this way. Since we all know that, you know, Eurovision usually is, you know, the audience has its own favorite and the juries has its own favorite. Like, it showed that over the years that, like, juries' impact is sometimes or mainly, you know, it has a bigger influence on that. And right now, on top, we have Sweden and Austria. And obviously, when it comes to televoting, I'm sure Sweden will be the winner of the televoting on the grand final, but I think that juries will be there in favor of Austria. I've heard that song already a few months ago when they did the selection process, and it was a winner for me from those songs immediately. But of course, that was a very raw version, and now when they produced it in a way that it works 100%, and since, you know, JJ is singer at the opera, as Sebi said before, we won't have any flaws when it comes to that. And also, it's super close to us. So I think this is, you know, my biggest wish is for Austria to host it next year. Do I see it winning? Yes. Do I expect drama on stage? Yes. Do I expect perfect staging? Yes. So there's absolutely nothing that I wouldn't see winning. I have to say, though, I don't see so much connections with Nemo from last year, apart from that the code has some opera parts in it, and just connecting every single song with Nemo just because it's opera sounds stupid to me. So I'm totally seeing this winning. It's an amazing song. It's very well produced. Definitely the best music video of 2025 as well. So yes, that's almost nothing I don't enjoy about this song.
So Sebi, I get your pessimism. I guess in a way that Eurovision can unite people from European countries. It would be hockey here. And like whenever we play the US, I get the same, oh my God, we're not going to win. And then last year, after threats from a certain orange man about hockey, we kicked their asses and won the gold medal. And then, you know, so things can happen. And you went on and you talked about like all these good, like he's an opera singer with flawless vocals. And, you know, the staging is going to be probably fantastic again. honestly kind of, if I envision what the final is going to look like on that Saturday, I kind of see a repeat of last year. I don't know if JJ will have this, what was it, 360 points that Nemo had this year. Probably a lot, probably the jury winner. And then JJ might not, well, probably won't win the televotes. I actually think that might go, like Jan said, to Kai.
JJ won't win televote, that's 100% sure, because yeah, it's not a televote song.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that, but like, surely no, Austria is not getting televote.
But like, that's my issue with the juries, because like, the closest song, you know, just music-wise, we had to this was La Forza, and that was like eighth with the juries, and that was also a flawless opera performance. And not everyone, just because they're juries, doesn't mean they're opera professionals. A lot of people actually don't get opera at all.
And no, but this song isn't 100%. It's not 100% pure opera either. And she just kind of stood there with a light up Barbie dress and didn't, like, not a whole lot was happening. I'm expecting a lot better staging that will impress the juries this time too. So even if he comes second, third, maybe even fourth with the televotes, I mean, it could be close. He could do it. I just think you don't want us on your couch in Vienna next year if you host again. I think it's a personal date.
But it's not going to be in Vienna for sure. So I don't want to spend the money on a hotel room in a different city. In
the country. Imagine that. You get it back after 10 years and you're like, fuck, I can't even like stay at my place.
Yeah, they put it in Graz or something instead. Or...
oh my god. No, but like, I mean, this is definitely not the one to be compared with La Forza at all, because it still has like a lot of attention from fans as well. It's going to be a jury's favorite. I know the pressure. I would feel the same way as Sebi feels right now, because like, whenever you have this pressure on, you just don't want to, you know, have this high hopes and then, you know, the whole thing flops and then it's, you know, everything can happen. But like, I mean, Austria this year, I mean, especially if we talk about this in the semifinal, I would say, a clear winner on the juries from the semi.
The juries are voting semi.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that from the ones that will be in the finals from this semi.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we rank this one out of 10?
Perfect 10.
Perfect 10. Okay. Our pessimist.
Yeah. An 8.
Okay.
It's 10 for me as well.
I'm late to the party on this one, so I'm going to give this one a 7. But, again, come back to me in a week or two. That's probably going to be higher. And for us, that's a 35 out of 40 and a clear leaders so far in this first half of this first semifinal, of course. And we leave JJ. We're going to have our first break from the Big Five. So we're going to hear what the hell just happened. And we're going to come back to Greece. And I'm wondering if Kyriakos, for some reason, has some strong opinions on the Greek entry this year.
So, yeah, I might have kept my bias opinion for Australia, but yeah, you know what? I'm just going to like go full bias here for Greece. I watched Eurovision back in 2001 with my papu, my grandfather, on SBS, and like barracking for Antique, barracking for Greece. And so Greece has a soft spot for me in the contest. Sometimes they sing good songs, sometimes they don't. That's how it is. But for me this year, like, I think this is a really nice ballad. Like, I really connected with Clavdia. Like, she's from the same part of Greece where my parents are from, in central Macedonia. She's got Pontian heritage just like me. But I really think this is like totally underrated by the fandom, and I think this is a dark horse if they do some good staging. So the Greek national final staging, crap, burn that, start again. They have to do something really good, something impressive. Like, to me, I really picture, like, I want something like Jamala 1944, something like that, something that's very enticing, because there's something majestic about the song, especially the ending. If they don't, they're going to end up like 2018 with Jana. She didn't make it, except if that was only televote, she would have made it because she came 10th for the televote. But regardless of that, I love Clavdia's look. She wears glasses. There's Nana Mouskouri vibe with this too. I can't wait to see what Greece have in store.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very beautiful song, and I think this will be the Balkan ballad in the sense that will make it through, because yeah, especially I think this is what will kill Montenegro with all the other things we said about earlier. And Serbia and Montenegro will obviously vote for this one because it's like it has some ties to them, but at the same time it stands out a lot in the semi-final. And yeah, I think she was the clear winner in the Greek national final, but I didn't like the staging at all. And I agree with you. I said, you know, if they were gonna keep the staging like this, they wouldn't qualify. But then I saw the music video, which is beautiful. And I do think, you know, they probably just went for a lower budget staging for the national final and keeping to save the money for Basel. And yeah, I don't think it should have any trouble qualifying. I think it's a pretty safe qualifier, actually.
I mean, this year's song for Greece is probably the best representative why I love Greece in general. You know, when it comes to language, when it comes to food, when it comes to, you know, everything in between. And also, like, Claudia is doing so amazingly, as I can definitely agree with Sebi. Clear winner from the national final, which was, again, completely useless and not necessary, because, like...
It was obvious anyway, they should have just chosen her, like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or next time they can just repeat, you know, the legendary, was it 2012 national final in the shopping mall? I'm here for that, because it would look better than that.
But then we wouldn't have had Saki Ruvas and Elena Paparizou doing the real thing. That was nice, but...
Yeah,
that had was... Had its flaws, though, but that was special.
Like the lip-syncing?
Oh my god, I mean, everyone was lip-syncing apart from the competing acts, and sometimes, I think we were just talking about this in the previous episode, because like I think it was the Cypriot Tio was also performing there, he was also lip-syncing, which is, you know, like no one really blames Helena Paparizou or Sakis Ruvas to lip-sync, but like if you are competing entry for this year, you know, it really seems... But no, I love it. I love that it's in Greek again. This is something that I'm repeating all over the season now, because I really do appreciate the amount of languages we have in this year's contest, which is, you know, unbelievable. We have, I don't know, Big Five singing in their own languages after so many years that, you know, no one is sticking to English if English is not their native language as well. So, no, it's fantastic. I love it. Music video was flawless as well. And I'm having my hopes high that, as Sebi said before, that they're saving some money for the staging in Basel. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing I don't enjoy about Claudia.
I think the only thing better than that, Jan, would be like if the UK sent a song in Catalan or something, just to mix it up, just to, you know, just for one year, send something not in English, just throw us a curveball, like the Netherlands singing in English and French, you know, just do something.
Fantastic.
Yeah. As for this one, I hope Kyriakos doesn't unfriend me after this, but I also watched the Greek final and was really excited because there hasn't been one since I started following Eurovision, so I was really excited. And after like the hour of like intro, you know, lip syncing and all that, all those performances, and they finally got going, I don't think I actually finished the show. I think I went to bed. It just didn't entertain me at all. As far as Clavdia, I want to say, I don't want to pronounce it wrong. It's a nice ballad, I will say that. I just find it takes a bit too long before it really gets going. And I kind of lose a little bit of interest there. So to me, this is going to come down to staging. And you've kind of all hit on that. Like, we hope there's going to be a big improvement from what we saw in Athens to what we'll see in Basel. And it's interesting, Kyriakos, you mentioned Onero Mu, because I kind of get those vibes from this song as well. But to be honest, I liked the 2018 song better than this one. So for me, I think it's going to come down to staging. I totally think she's going to qualify. And she can do that without my vote, so I don't feel too bad about that. But I'll leave it to you to give us a nice number first before we get my awful number at the end.
This is one of my favorites this year, along with Poland and Netherlands. No surprise there. Just like Cyprus, I'm giving this full points, 10.
It had to be. If you didn't, I would be upset.
I will give it a 7.
I'm giving an 8.
and I'll be bad and give it a 6, but that's still a 31 out of 40, so one of our best marks so far. And closing out the first half of the semi is Lithuania and Catharsis. Yeah, I can't believe we're on the last one already. We'll be halfway through on the Thursday night, or for Kyriakos, Friday morning.
Yes.
Nice and early.
It's always an early start for us Aussies, there with orange juice and sometimes a little bit of champagne in there too. But I've covered the Lithuanian National Final for Aussie Vision, I think, like for 5 editions. It became my kind of thing to cover, and it's a long process. It takes forever. It's unnecessary. They might as well just do the final. Always the best songs end up in the final. But again, I'm glad with the entry that Lithuania has selected. This year, I didn't actually follow the national final. I went into watched the final blind, and I was kind of surprised that Kataris, I probably pronounced that wrong, won. But it's totally, like, it's a song that's so different to the rest of the songs in the semi. And I think it will easily qualify. I love the members, how they have like a don't give a fuck attitude. Like, there's just something about the band that I kind of like. I don't know if that relates to everyone, but also Lithuania sending Lithuanian language again, and they have 100% qualifying record when they send a song in Lithuanian. So yeah, easy qualifier, happy for this one.
Yeah, I think this is in my top 3 of the whole year, because this is exactly the type of music I would listen to. I love like the kind of alternative rock, like dark punk vibes in this song, and it's so amazing because I do think that Lithuania just manages to find a pearl out of, you know, very overall weak lineup, but they always, you know, find a really good song at the end. And I was a bit worried about Lithuania the same way that Armenia let us down, but like Lithuania keeps on delivering, in my opinion. Like, I think in this decade, they've always been in my, like, let's say top 5 for sure. And they just keep going on with that. And easy qualifier. I said that about Latvia, you know, the UK and Ireland, diaspora will give them probably the 12, and Latvia might give them the 12. I hope this will get the recognition it deserves in the final as well.
I mean, for me, the song, it doesn't really do much, but I'm sure it will be fulfilled with the staging, because the song has a great potential for great staging as well. It's explaining like a story, which is deliverable, I would say, throughout staging. So I'm excited to see what they have to offer in Basel. It's not my personal favorite, but again, nothing wrong with that, because obviously I'm not really known for a wise choices overall, so it's not that my opinion really matters on that. It's just not really my cup of tea, but far from saying that it's not quality, there seems like a really like great professional musicians, which is a good thing. And I can definitely see this qualifying. I agree.
Before I'm accused of being a grumpy bitch, I will say we have 2 episodes coming. We have still the second half of the second semifinal and the Big 5 and Switzerland. I do have a 10 coming. I know I haven't given a 10 yet, but there is one coming. So I agree with you all. I think this is qualifying, not an issue at all. But for me, I just found the ending really repetitive again. And I don't know what they're saying, so maybe it's very deep and very meaningful. So I'm going to, like Jan said, I'm going to rely on the staging, hopefully, to tell that story. It's, again, like Sebi says, very dark. I find I need to be like in a certain headspace to want to listen to this. Like, as I'm going through the playlist, I'll often skip it, but I don't know. I don't want to say when I'm in a bad mood I'll listen to it, but yeah, like, just need to be in a certain kind of, yeah, I'll go with headspace to keep this one on. Not a horrible song, but it's certainly not my top, unfortunately. So we'll give this one a ranking. Last one.
It's an 8 for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it is my 10, obviously.
This is my 5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with Jan and give this one a 5. And that leaves us with a 28 out of 40. So our top three were third place, Australia, second place, Greece, and our winner, unsurprisingly, I think, is Austria. So what do you guys think of the first half of this semi? What are we in for?
Oh, definitely in for a treat, because I think it's going to be a very, very, very good one. Sorry, Kiriakos, go on.
Yeah, I just like the so many different musical styles. I think one semi-final, some part of semi-final one had the same thing, but there's something so different. I really think Austria's got a good position straight after Armenia. Probably the best position they've got. That's a blessing for them. I'm worried about Greece because if you've watched Austria and it's really amazing, you'll still be thinking about that while Greece is going on. But yeah, I think Austria's got a good position.
Well, the UK will break that up too, though.
Oh, true.
So that's going to help. And I'm assuming at some point in there, there's probably going to be a commercial break or something too, because there's usually two, I think, in a semi. So that might be around a good place to put one. So yeah, I'm not worried about Greece, not worried about Austria. I think we're going to have like Australia qualify, and then we're going to have, you know, a few, then Latvia, then there's going to be Austria. So they're going to be separated out a bit, but Greece for sure.
So that was the first half of the second semi-final. Kiriakos, do you have any final words regardless of this semi-final, just about this year's Eurovision, or any more projects we might see you in Eurovision related?
And maybe will we find you on the streets of Basel this year?
No, I'm not going to Basel this year. My brother's getting married, and exact weekend of Eurovision. So I was planning on going, and then that went out the window, but that's fine. Family comes first. But I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy the way you guys cover the contest. Been following you since 2023. And I know how much blood, sweat, and tears and time goes into this. And you guys do an amazing job. And I always look forward to listening to you guys. And thank you so much for all the hard work you do.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think you were one of our very first fans. You know, you texted us like we had like four episodes released maybe. And yeah, that's where we kind of met up this way.
Yeah, you guys gel so well. Yeah, you're a great trio.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot. And now when you say, you know, when we were saying like, you know, at the beginning, and now I think we're heading all the way to what, 140th episode at some point, probably?
This one.
Oh, well, yeah. No, it really is fantastic. So thank you so much for joining us and to sharing your opinion, because we really do enjoy the different point of view, even though there's a, like, out of us three, it's always, you know, different aspects always. So, but it's always nice to have somebody from outside. It was a real pleasure having you over, and I hope you enjoy Eurovision as much as possible this year.
Yes, and don't let anybody get married next year, and we'll invite you for a melange in Vienna when you're there on the ground next year.
It's not going to be
Vienna. Yes, it's going to be.
Manifested.
There's gonna be bids on Sebi's couch.
Let's go to Innsbruck then.
Okay.